This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Hello, this is Gordon Smith, and you are listening to the Sons of Melchizedek program. Today, I'm interviewing Father Dan Gartland of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish in Carmel, Indiana, part of the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. Welcome, Father Gartland. How are you today?
I'm doing very good. Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
It's good to have you, and this is a priestly vocation show, and we want to build up our priests, and hopefully they have some interesting stories about what caused them to get to the place they are now. And so that's what I'm going to be asking Father about today. So Father Gartland, how long have you been a priest?
I am just in my 40th year of priesthood.
40 years.
Yes.
And you're at Our Lady of Mount Carmel now, but it sounds like you've been a lot of other places. Could you tell us where?
Sure. I was ordained on June the 5th of 1982. My first assignment was at St. Mary Cathedral. Monsignor Potthoff was the pastor. I was there for 8 years. It was a great place to be. And while I was there, I also started working at Lafayette Central Catholic. And I was with those two organizations for 8 years when I got transferred.
Where'd you go after that then, Father?
From there, I went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, where I was for 2 years, enjoyed it. They had a what they called FACE. It was a high school group at that time. And we had so much fun, and it was so dynamic at the time. So it was a lot of fun and just a great place. Worship was great, and I have a master's degree in theology concerning worship. So it was a good place for me to be.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel always has been sort of a melting pot of the various high schools, you know, Westfield, Carmel, and maybe even Zionsville and some other places like that. So I do remember those years when all the kids came together like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and so from there, then I went to work at Martin University, which is a predominantly African-American university. Father Boniface Hardin, who was a Benedictine monk, was the founder and president of it. And so I worked with him and did a program called Co-Institutional Learning.
What's that mean?
It means we were looking to get more African-American students into nursing, healthcare, and teaching.
And so co-institutional, what does that mean?
That means that between the University of Indianapolis and Martin in those days, Martin University, and then Marion College in those days, it was called, you could get the different degrees because we didn't have any accreditation for education and for nursing directly at Martin. But most of the students of color wanted to come to Martin to get their beginning courses. So that's how we worked it. So they could go to both places.
So Father Boniface was Catholic, is Catholic?
Yes. He was a Benedictine monk from St. Meinrad.
And also, as I remember, that campus was in a former Catholic church there, wasn't it?
That's correct. The archdiocese sold it to Father Boniface for next to nothing because they wanted it off of their rosters. And Father Boniface needed a place to start the university. He had started it actually over on Central Avenue, but that just was not going to be enough because when I was there, we went up to about 800 students.
After that co-institutional learning program, and down in Indianapolis, Archdiocese of Indianapolis, you came back up to Lafayette, and there you went to
At that
Sorrowful Mother, is that where you went to?
I went to Sorrowful Mother Parish in Wheatfield, Indiana. It was a parish, it was the first pastorate I'd ever had. It was so much fun. It was about 125, 130 families. So everybody knew everybody. And it was a thriving place. It really was a wonderful place. And one of the places I wouldn't mind to go back to in my old age, you know, because again, they were just great people and a lot of a life there, predominantly farmers.
So for our listeners that are south of 96th Street, where is Wheatfield?
Wheatfield is midway between Valparaiso up north and Rensselaer down south. So it's about 15 to 20 miles to each one of those places.
That's way up there. It's way north.
It is way north. And in the winter, it did get cold, and we had a lot of snow. They talk about that snow belt that gets hammered. We did get hammered several times, but it was great.
So Wheatfield and Sorrowful Mother, and then it looks like you had a long stint back in Lafayette.
Right. At one point, I got a phone call from Bishop Higgy, and he asked me if I could come back to Lafayette, and I said, well, I'd rather stay at Sorrowful Mother, the truth be known. He said, I really do need you to come back, and I said, that's fine. So I came back, and I went to St. Lawrence as their pastor. I was there for 19 years as their pastor, and a total of 27 years I was at Lafayette. And while I was there, I was also honored to work with the school system there, and I became a chair member and then the chair. And that lasted for a number of years, about 5 or 6 years. And I was also pastoring the cathedral at that same time. So it was a time in my life where I was very pulled between two big parishes and the school system. But it worked out because I had wonderful young priests. I had three priests with me at all times. And so that was made it all possible. And I had, I've had 18 associates and so in my priesthood. And so it's been a blessing because I got to work with a lot of young priests. And we have some phenomenal, just phenomenal young priests.
Yes,
men,
we do.
Men of faith.
Yes, we do. And I was thinking about all those assignments and simultaneous job descriptions you had at the time. And I was thinking, well, Father Dan, either the bishop didn't like him or he thought he was super competent. Or so I'm sure it was super competent. So.
Oh, I would hope so. But
So tell me about, we're going to get into your current assignment and where you're at now and where you were just before Our Lady of Mount Carmel, but I would like to know a little bit more about your upbringing, Father.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in Marion, Indiana, and had a great life there. I come from a very large Irish Catholic family, Irish and German, but in Marion, everybody's the Irish, not the German.
Okay.
And lots and lots of cousins, and we all grew up together. All of our parents grew up there. We spent every Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter all together. It was nothing for us to have 75 to 85 people at dinner, and it was just a wonderful place to be. We all were very devout Catholics. We went to church every Sunday, and we all went to the same Catholic grade school, St. Paul grade school. And we had a Catholic high school. We were the last parish in the state of Indiana to give up the high school. That was about 20 years ago. And we had about 1,000 kids in school.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We jokingly say that St. Paul's in Marion is what Our Lady of Mount Carmel was today.
That makes sense.
And it was a great place. We were taught by the Sisters of St. Joseph in Tipton. One year we had 5 priests and 17 nuns. That's, at our parish.
I wish we would have that again.
It would be a blessing.
It is starting, but we really need to reinforce that.
Yeah.
This is Gordon Smith, and I'm interviewing Father Dan Gartland today. He's currently assigned to Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish in Carmel, Indiana. And this is a priestly vocation story of Father Gartland's, but we need to encourage other young men to consider a vocation in the priesthood. What are some things, Father Gartland, that your father and mother did to encourage you to have this vocation?
You know, we talked about vocations in our family, and but it was nothing that my parents pushed on us. There was a realization that it was a reality as a Catholic that, you know, there could be people in your family who would become priests or nuns or brothers or whatever. And so I don't think they ever really pushed it. I think they just let us see how open the church is to religious vocations.
So maybe not encouraged, but certainly not discouraged.
They never discouraged it. And I'll tell you, it was interesting to me because I started at IU, didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so as I was going through my life, I look back on it, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And one night, a group of us were sitting around talking about, well, what do you think you're going to be? What are you going to do? And why are you becoming a teacher? Why are you becoming a doctor? Why are you becoming a lawyer? And I can remember thinking, I think maybe I'm supposed to be a priest. And it just popped in my mind. And I can remember thinking, you know, even if you help somebody be a stronger, healthier person, they might live a longer life. But if you convince them to become Christ-like, they might live eternally.
The eternal life, yes.
And so I just was reflecting on that and thinking to myself, wow. And so the next day I called home and I told my mom and dad, I said, I think I'm going to transfer. And my dad said, oh, where are you going to go? And I said, I'm thinking about St. Meinrad. And he said, that's a seminary. And I said, yes, it is. And I said, and he said, do you think you're being called? And I said, I'm not sure, but I know I have to try it.
So back in those days, you would have been going to St. Charles.
At IU?
Yeah.
No, I went to St. Paul, the Newman Center.
The Newman Center,
yeah,
St. Paul's.
St. Paul, the Newman Center. And it was wonderful. I went to St. Meinrad. It was very different because I went from a college with 35,000 students, boys and girls, and I ended up at a place that had about 250 guys. So it was a very different world I was going to. But I went, and I was just going to take it and see how it went. And so I stayed at St. Meinrad. I graduated from college at St. Meinrad. I thought about going in and becoming a Benedictine monk, and that was not for me. And so for many reasons, it just was not going to be for me. So I left St. Meinrad, and I taught for 1 year at Cathedral High School, deciding what was I being called to do. And excuse me. And lo and behold, at the end of the time at Cathedral, I went back to finish everything up and become a priest. And I did that by going to Kenrick in St. Louis.
I see. So you spent, you finished up your training.
My last 2 years were at Kenrick.
At Kenrick. And then you were ordained in 82, right?
Correct. I did at the same time, I was working on two master's degrees at the same time. So I was ordained out of Kenrick in St. Louis at our cathedral. There was, again, there were five guys in our class that were all ordained. And then from there, I went to the cathedral, but I was also working at Notre Dame on another master's degree. So I ended up with a master's degree in theology and a master's in liturgy and
Divinity. We're going to get back to this in just a minute. We're going to have to take a short break. But I understand with two masters, you had three bishops. And maybe you can tell us about that when we return. This is Gordon Smith, and you're listening to Sons of Melchizedek.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy. An interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. And at the same time, I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back to Sons of Melchizedek, and this is Gordon Smith. I'm interviewing Father Dan Gartland today from Our Lady of Mount Carmel in the Lafayette Diocese, or as they want to be called, the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, so they don't get confused with Lafayette, Louisiana. Father Gartland, you were just telling us about your time at the end of, or when you got ordained, and you were under the direction of several bishops, weren't you?
I was. I was ordained by Bishop Gallagher, as our entire class was. And then he stepped down and retired, and we had another...
Bishop Fulcher?
Fulcher, yes. And he was killed in a car wreck. And so,
God rest his soul.
Oh, God rest his soul. Yes, most definitely. It was a terrible wreck because he went off the road and he got trapped in the car, and a trucker saw him and went down to try to get him out of the car and ran back up to the car to get a wrench to get him out, and the car blew up.
Oh, my gosh.
So, It was a horrible death. And so then he had died, and then we had Bishop Higgy. So my first year of priesthood, I had three bishops, Bishop Gallagher, Bishop Fulcher, and Bishop Higgy. So we didn't know who was on first and who was on second.
Sounds like a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
It was, but it was good. It all
and you weathered out. It well, I'm sure, because you're still around and you're still here with us.
Exactly.
So tell us and our listening audience about your next assignment. We were talking about St. Lawrence and the long run you had in Lafayette at St. Lawrence and the cathedral. But then you came back to the Indianapolis area, north of 96th Street, over by a little reservoir, right?
Geist, yes. It was interesting to me because I never really thought about that. Father Phil Bowers was the pastor there.
And God rest his soul.
Yeah,
he just passed away this year, I think.
It's been 2022. Yeah. And he died on the 17th of December a year ago.
Yes.
And great guy. And we'd known each other because we were both in Lafayette at the same time. He was in West Lafayette. I was in Lafayette. So we knew each other and had lunch and stuff together. And so we got a phone call. I got a phone call saying they wanted to talk to me about things, and it was to go to Holy Spirit at Geist. And so Phil came over and talked to me about it, and next thing I knew, I was the pastor at Holy Spirit at Geist, and Phil was living down the street, and we had a great time, and it's a wonderful parish, wonderful liturgy, and a very, very generous outreach to the poor, which hit my heart pretty well.
He was your fraternal brother in priesthood, but he had large shoes to fill as well. He was a very popular priest with his parishioners. Was that hard for you, or did you have an easy way in? Because you have a gentle way about yourself. You're very personable, and I think you must have had an easy route.
I'll tell you, it was pretty easy. Phil had decided that he was not going to come around ever. And after about 2 weeks, I said, this is not working for me. You need to come around once in a while. And he said, no, I'm not coming for 6 months. I'm not coming because you're the pastor. And I said, everybody knows I'm the pastor at Holy Spirit at Geist now. So you can get over that, Phil. Now, start coming to church here. People are going to think you've lost your faith. They don't see you at church. And he laughed, you know. But he did. He started coming. And we got along so well. And it was so wonderful because I never had to worry. If I needed to be away for a day, I could call him and say, Phil, could you cover for me? Most definitely. I was going to be gone for a week. Let me do it. And so he was such a support to me. And everybody knew that the two of us really enjoyed each other's company and had a good theology going between the two of us. And so, the people were very, very welcoming and very kind to me.
Well, God bless them.
Yeah.
And it's good priests like yourself and Father Bowers that really make our church what it is. And this is a priestly vocation story of Father Gartland's and the other priests that I interview here. But this is hopefully done in a way that will encourage other young men to take this step and at least have their parents encourage them or not discourage them, because we need more priests in the church. What are some things that are helpful to you from the parishioners at Our Lady Mount Carmel, or some things that you would like them not to do?
I will tell you, the people at Our Lady Mount Carmel have been very, very kind to me, very open to me. They come up and they talk. Now, you're talking about a parish that has about 13,000 registered parishioners. So they know that I don't know their names because there's just too many of them. But they have been the most welcoming people, and they have an outreach of kindness. I get notes, I get letters from people all the time. Every week I get something from somebody just saying, yeah, we really appreciate you being here. And when this last year, this last summer, when it was my turn for me to have my 40th anniversary, they threw a great party. And it was a wonderful event. And the letters I got from people then really just did my heart well.
Well, great. That's a tribute to those parishioners. And they are so appreciative of our priests. And you have some great priests at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, of course, all over the Diocese of Lafayette. But, you know, when we have good priests, it shows up in the parishioners' attitudes. So thank you for your vocation. What's your favorite prayer or Bible story, Father?
Funny you said, kids always ask me, what's my favorite gospel? The little kids are always asking questions because I allow them to ask questions at the school masses.
Okay.
And what they'll say, of the Gospels, which one do you like the best? And I always say John. And they say, why? And I say, well, John's a little more theological. And Luke and Mark, they're just telling the same stories over and over and over again. And I get bored with that. And so they laugh. They say, you can't get bored with the Bible, Father. I love the whole scriptures, but I do particularly like John.
And a particular scripture in John, what's your favorite part of John?
I think probably, gosh, that's a tough question because there's a lot that I like, but I would think it would be the Eucharist.
That's interesting. So John 6:54-ish?
Ish, yes.
53, Bread of Life Discourse. Now, we're having a big Eucharistic revival here in Indianapolis that
yes.
will be nationwide. It's a pretty big event coming up in 2024, and there's the buildup to that's already started. And I think that's going to be a tremendous event for our city and for the country because there's a lot of people out there. I don't know if they're at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, but there are Catholics out there that the news reports tell us that do not believe in the real presence like they should. So your desire to trumpet the Bread of Life discourse interests me because that is a powerful reminder that Jesus comes to us body, blood, soul, and divinity, right, Father?
Correct.
And when we eat the body and drink the blood of Christ, we are actually doing exactly what he said, and some of his disciples actually left him during that time. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Father?
You know, it's all about catechesis, and Jesus
right?
was probably the best catechist, but even he didn't get through to everybody in the way he wanted them to see it. And you're right, people started leaving the church.
This teaching is hard. How can we believe it?
Yeah. So. And so I think that we're having some of the same issues today, and I think we best witness it by the way we live our lives. And, you know, are we being people of faith? Are we being people of prayer? Are we being people who reach out to the poor? Are we doing the works that Jesus Christ asked us to do? And that doesn't mean that everybody has to do everything. But are we as a church doing what Jesus told us to do?
Corporal works of mercy.
Yeah.
We have to do those things. We're commanded to do those. What is your most important task being a priest? I think you just touched on it, the catechesis. But
well, catechesis is very important, but actually this what we hit the most hearts with is with the celebration of the sacraments.
And your favorite sacrament is?
I don't really have a favorite. Obviously, the one I do the most is Mass. I say Mass every day. And that's a huge part of my spiritual life and a huge part of who I am. But I don't think that it's more important. It depends. They wouldn't be there if it wasn't for baptism.
Sure, that's the institutional.
And they wouldn't be baptism if their parents didn't get married. And you see, I mean, so the sacraments tie together so beautifully that we just have to kind of periodically step back and see the beauty in all of them. I got called yesterday to go anoint somebody, and I anoint a lot of people. Because at OLMC, I'm an associate. So I get to do the jobs that the pastor doesn't get to always do. Because the pastors are busy doing administration and that kind of stuff, and meeting with people, where I meet everybody, but in every place. So I probably at least once or twice a week get called to a hospital to anoint somebody, just to be with somebody and to talk with them.
So important, so important.
And taking the Eucharist to people, it's again, it gives people permission to let go and to be with God. And I know that sounds a little tough sometimes, but an awful lot of people are looking for that. I want to make sure I've received communion. I want to make sure I've gone to confession. I want to make sure I'm anointed. And then they say, now I can go. And that's powerful.
Oh, you meant go eternally.
Go eternally. Yeah.
I didn't catch that at first. I'm sorry, Father.
Yeah.
In the miracle of the Eucharist on the altar. So thank you for that. That's something that you're able to do as a priest. And that's what we're all about here in the Sons of Melchizedek. Today, I'm interviewing Father Dan Gartland of Our Lady Mount Carmel, who's been a priest for over 40 years and been under three bishops, four in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, and also many parishes. There was three at his ordination time, and now, of course, Bishop Doherty. If a parent thinks that their child might have their son a vocation, or daughter, but a son for a priestly vocation, what's the right time to talk to them about that, and what should they do or not do if they think they might have a child that might have a vocation?
You know, I think there's a variety of things that people could and probably should do. One is just an open conversation. If they bring it up to you, then you would say, why do you think you want to be a priest? Just to get the dialogue going along. If it's something that they have brought to you, that, you know, I think it's an appropriate way to do it that way. Otherwise, I think you just talk to your kids about the church and what it means to have a vocation, whether it's a priestly vocation or it's a marriage vocation or a single vocation. Are you seeing your future life with God in it and the church? And that means you get married and have children, or you're single. But it means I'm seeing myself as part of something far bigger and far better than just me by myself. And that's that journey we make with the church, because everybody needs that strength. The world in which we live is not an easy world to live in. And so if I'm not alone on the journey, if I'm walking with other people on that journey of life, it helps me be more solid in who I am as a person. And then maybe that will allow me to think about religious vocations.
Those are wise words indeed, Father Gartland. Thank you for those, and thank you for your vocation. I want to thank you for your time today. God bless you, Father Gartland, and thank you for your vocation.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.